welcome to the Church of the Redeemer's Weekly Podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this week's sermon, and we hope that you will follow us at www.cotrb.org, and may God continue to bless you.
Amen, amen. Well, I ain't gonna hold you too long. I got two services to do and baptism, but God is good. So I know you have your Bibles. So if you would open up to the book or the letter or the epistles of Galatians chapter 4, and we'll look at two verses. Galatians, New Testament, chapter 4. We'll look at two verses. Amen. I'm reading out of the New Revised Standard Version, and it reads as follows. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman. Verse 4. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 and 5. That's all right. I want y'all to keep your Bible open. Follow me. Amen. Amen. I don't mind. I take time. Amen. And thank you. Verse 4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who are under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. Amen. Amen. Now, today is the first Sunday of Advent, according to the Christian calendar. Now, Advent is the season consisting of 4 weeks before Christmas, during which Christians celebrate the coming of Christ. Now, this word Advent is from the Latin, and it's Adventus, which simply means the arrival. So, our sermon today is about the birth of baby Jesus. And the title would be The Gift That Keeps Giving. The Gift That Keeps Giving. Now, in the Bible, first we have Luke's account of the birth of Jesus in Luke chapter 2. And Luke talks about how Jesus, baby Jesus, appeared to the shepherds. Now, if you know anything about Luke's gospel, the purpose of Luke's gospel is to identify with the lost, the least, and the left out. In other words, by baby Jesus appearing to the shepherds, in those days, the shepherds was a lowly position, a despised position. In other words, they worked out in the field with those stinky sheep, and they out there all day and all. You know, nobody want these kids to grow up and be no shepherd. You understand what I'm saying? So Luke is letting us know that Jesus came for the downtrodden, the marginalized. And one of the tenets of black theology is that God is on our side. And we see that in Luke's account of the birth of Jesus. Then we have Matthew's account in Matthew chapter 1. Matthew has the story of the wise men. You with me? And a lot of people incorrectly believe that there were three wise men. Nah, there wasn't three wise men. Read the text. There were three gifts. And Matthew's account of Jesus' birth was written to the Jews, but he really wanted to point out Jesus' royalty as the king of the Jews. And what he does is he talks about the three gifts that the magi or the wise men brought. The gifts that they brought were gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You with me? The gifts have a symbolic meaning. The gifts point to who baby Jesus really is. For the gold emphasizes his kingship. For gold is for a king. The frankincense emphasizes his priestlyhood. For Hebrews tells us he was the perfect high priest. For the myrrh, symbolic of his suffering. Because myrrh is what they use at death. So it lets us know that through his suffering, that it all points to the cross. But I don't want to talk about Luke's account this morning. I don't want to talk about Matthew's account this morning. I want to talk about Paul's account, the Apostle Paul's account, which we find in Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 to 5. Paul writes these words, "But when the fullness of time had come, that God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoptionship as a child." Now, these words, "but when the fullness of time had come," could be translated as a divine determined time, as the proper time, as the time that's appointed by the Father, or the time that is marked out by the prediction of the prophets. What Paul is doing here is Paul is giving us background of the ancient world. Paul is saying that at the time baby Jesus was born, it was a time when the world was ready to receive him. You see, the world at that time was one world, for it was one language. Everybody spoke Koine Greek. It was one government. It was under the Roman government, and it had a network of roads for the gospel to be able to travel. Paul is saying that the world was ready for the Savior. So Jesus comes at a time when the world is specially prepared to receive him. So when the fullness of time had come, when the perfect time had come, or as I prefer to say, at the right time. You see, the first point of my sermon is that he'll come right on time. We serve a God who is right on time. I know that's right. There are two words in the Greek for time. For the first word is chronos. That means chronological time. In other words, that's calendar time. That's the time you and I move by. Minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day, week by week, month by month, and year by year. That's calendar time. But there's a time in which God works, because God can't be confined by calendar time. The time that God works is what we call Kairos time. That's what they call the apole time, or the right time. The best way to say it's strategic time. What am I trying to say? Our God will show up right on time. Our ancestors would say, "He may not come when you want him." That's calendar time. But he'll come right on time. That's strategic time. And since I know that God will show up right on time, the scripture spoke to me and said, "Why should I worry? Why should I be afraid? Why should I be dismayed? Because our God is always, always, always on time." If we had testimony period, I know somebody out there could talk about, "Oh, he showed up. He showed up when I needed him. He showed up." Our God is on time. So Paul is saying that Jesus came at the right time, not by chance, not by man, but by God. And I hope you got your Bible open, because the text says that God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. Can I unpack it for you? Here we see Paul's Christology. In other words, Christology simply means a study of Jesus Christ. We know that Jesus is 100% man and 100% God. Amen. Paul is saying that the Son of God always existed, that he existed before Bethlehem. In our text, Paul is addressing first the divinity of Jesus Christ. Paul says that God sent forth his Son, and in his divinity, Paul says that Jesus always existed with the Father. And that at the right time, the Father sent the Son from heaven down to see about us. John's Gospel. John Gospel writes it this way. John says that Jesus existed before his earthly birth. That talks about his pre-existence. John goes back further than the birth narratives of Matthew and Luke. John says that in the beginning was the Word. In other words, before the beginning began, Jesus was there. John goes down to verse 14. And John lets us know about what we call the incarnation, which is made up of two words, in and flesh. And he tells us in verse 14 that God put on flesh and that he dwelled with us. I like how Isaiah says it. Isaiah says it in chapter 9, verse 6. Isaiah says, for a child is born and a son is given. Now, Isaiah is saying, a son is given, meaning that Jesus was in heaven with God, and God decided to give his son. That's his divinity. When it says a son is born, that's his humanity, that he's born of a woman. So Paul says that Jesus is born of a woman, and he's born under the law. He's talking about his humanity. That Jesus was clothed in flesh as a baby in Bethlehem. The born of a woman. Paul is emphasizing the prophecy that's in Genesis 3:17. I know you're familiar with the verse. Where it says that the seed of a woman would bruise the head of a serpent. So Paul is writing to let them know the fulfillment of the prophecy. Born under the law. Paul is letting you know that Jesus came not to destroy the law. 2 Corinthians 5:21 lets us know he came to fulfill the law. But I want to get to my second point, if I could. First, not only will he come right on time, my second point is he'll come to where you are. I hope you enclose your Bible. Text says he was born under the law to redeem those who were under the law. He will come to where you are. In other words, they were born, the people were born under the law. He came under the law. He came to where the people were under the law. The law represents bondage. What am I trying to say? Whatever has you bound today. He came to where you are. He came to give us that freedom. I don't know what has you in bondage today, but he came so that we can have freedom. Now, I don't know about you, but I was sinking deep in my sin. I was far from the peaceful shore. I was sinking deep in the miry muck of sin. But I want to tell you that Jesus came to where I was. Y'all, I don't know what y'all testimony is. I was in the crack house, and he came to where I was. I don't know, you might have been in the shooting gallery. You might have been in the bar. You could have been in the lottery line. But he'll come to where you are. I know he will. Can I call a roll? When the Israelites were at the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army was on his trail, he came to where they were and he made a highway for them to walk on. When they threw the three Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they looked into the furnace, you know the scripture, they threw three in. But when they looked in the furnace, they said, I see four, and they unbounded. He'll come to where you are. Let me go to the New Testament. The disciples were made to get in the boat, and at evening they found themselves in a storm with the winds blowing. The Bible says that Jesus saw their situation and that Jesus came walking on the water
to the boat. I'm just trying to tell you, he'll come to where you are. Let me hurry. Not only will he come right on time, not only will he come to where we are, but I got good news this morning. He'll do something about your situation. He'll do something about your situation. Here we see the purpose of the birth of baby Jesus. Or if it can be stated in the terms of a question, we see why Jesus was born. In other words, Paul begins to teach us his soteriology. That's simply the study of salvation. You see, the text says in verse 5 that in order to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as children. All right, I'm going to keep it simple. I know it's early. Notice, if you will, the order of the sentence. In other words, the first thing that happens is we are redeemed. Then we're adopted. Now you missed your shout. Did I break it down for you? When I'm redeemed, my problem is fixed. So the first thing Jesus does is fix my problem. First thing he does. But God is so good, he's not going to stop there. God is going to fix my problem. Then he's going to adopt me, meaning it'll never happen again. That's good news. Redeemed. That word means to bring out or to be brought from the marketplace for a price. You with me? God had to redeem us, had to buy us from the marketplace of sin with the price of his blood. So when I see baby Jesus, I see salvation. Yeah, I see salvation. Songwriter writes this word. It says, I am redeemed, brought with a price. Jesus has changed my whole life. If anybody asks you just who I am, tell them, I'm redeemed. He goes on to say, I'll tell of his favor. I'll tell of his love. I'll tell of his goodness to me. He purchased my redemption by his own precious blood. And from sin, I'm set free. My. Church of the Redeemer is a church full of redeemed people. So, when he says, I've been redeemed, that means I don't go where I used to go. I don't do what I used to do. I don't say what I used to say. Therefore, all of us can put an X in whatever it was. If it had not been for the Lord on my side. Yeah. So after we get redeemed, the good news continues. Text says, we're adopted. Now, let me give you a little bit of cultural exegesis, if I could. I just want to use these words I'm paying for with this student loan. Amen. I brought them. Yeah. Now. In that culture, in that time, if you were born poor, right, there's a 99.9% that you'll be poor the rest of your life. Likewise, if you were born into a rich family, there's a 99.9.5% that you'll always be rich. What I'm trying to say is, in those days, there was no college. In other words, you couldn't just go to college, get your degree, and get a good job. That didn't exist in that culture. In other words, they didn't have no professional sports. In other words, nobody's going to pay you millions of dollars for your athletic ability. You with me? Can I go one more? They didn't have, what they call it, the Mega Ball, Super Ball? You know what I'm saying? They didn't have the lottery where you could change. I'm just trying to tell you, if you was born poor, you was going to stay that way. You with me? So Paul uses this word adoption on purpose, because the only way that you're going to get out of that sinful position and be able to experience the riches of God is that you have to be adopted into the family. Now listen, Paul's a scholar. Paul knows what he's doing. Paul uses this term adoption also because it's a legal term. Legal term. In other words, the old family, see if you can follow me, loses all rights to me. Oh, my God. Yeah. Woo. Yeah. Loses all rights. The new family. Oh, my. Yeah. I'm entitled. I'm now written in the will. I'm an heir. I'm just trying to tell you what happens when we look at baby Jesus. Every believer is now adopted into the family of God. And we have rights as Christians. We have the right to call God our Heavenly Father. We have a right to realize that we are no longer in Satan's family. For the blood has placed us into a high position through adoption that we are the sons of God. Now, I can hear you saying, I thought you said this sermon was about the gift that keeps on giving. I ain't heard not one thing about the gift that keeps on giving. Amen. Well, since you've been adopted, you are now recipients of the gift that keeps on giving. I'm ready to close. You're joint heirs with Christ. You are the righteousness. You are called children of God. That's the gift that keeps on giving. You are citizens of heaven. You are a royal generation. You are a holy nation. That's the gift that keeps on giving. You are alive with Christ. You have the mind of Christ. You have the peace of God. That's the gift that keeps on giving. You're now the head and not the tail. You're more than conquerors. You're blessed when you're coming. You're blessed when you're going. He promised never to leave you nor forsake you. I'm talking about the gift that keeps on giving. New mercies every day. Oh, you're blessed. You are blessed. You're blessed with his grace and his mercy. You have the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about the gift that keeps on giving. The gift that keeps on giving. For right now, God is blessing us. Right now, the Lord is blessing us. I'm talking about the gift that keeps on giving. Amen. Amen. At the right time, God sent forth his son. That's the gift. And he sent his son into the world so that all of us, so God came to where we were in a sinful world. And God came to do something about our situation. So he came and he redeemed us and he adopted us. In this holiday season, this season of gifts giving and gift receiving, I just wanted to be mindful that we've already received the best gift that we could ever receive. There's nothing like a gift that keeps on giving. Amen. Amen. While you're standing and the deacons are coming, and we open the doors of the church.
Jesus has changed my life.